Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
I just want to say, I love the smell of when candles are blown out. If you didn't realize, there was real fire down here, which was awesome. I was slightly worried that I'd be the person that, you know, gets walking around while I'm speaking and my pants catch on fire or something like that. So then candles got blown out, and but the smell of that always reminds me of like a birthday party or something like that. But we don't want the fire of God to be blown out, do we? No. All of this has nothing to do with my message this morning. My name is Pastor Jess Barsenis. I am, as mentioned, the wife of Alex. We get to co-lead here together. It's been a little while since I've preached up here. So I always sense the real responsibility and the weight, but also the beautiful privilege of getting to share the Word of God with people, regardless of the number of people, just with people in general. And so I thank you, Lord, that I get to be up here this morning, and welcome to those who are tuning in online. I want to share a quick story with you. I just want to embarrass myself, if that's okay. But recently I was on a treadmill, and that's not the end of the story. I know it's embarrassing in itself, because when you haven't been on a treadmill regularly, when you get on the treadmill, your body isn't always ready for the speed that you set the treadmill at. So anyway, and I'm publicly, you know, in a gym, a local gym, and I'm on the treadmill and there's other people around, so I'm conscious of that, of not looking like that unco, unfit person. The reality is I am an unco, unfit person, trying to work on my fitness somewhat. But anyway, the story goes, I'm trying to get the pace right. And so if you've been on a treadmill before, like a, you know, digital one, you get to increase the speed. It starts off very slow and you press the button and it's, you know, the conveyor belt is speeding up. I'm not going to do a demonstration because that's going to look ridiculous, but you've got the picture in your head. I'm on a treadmill and I'm trying to get the pace right. Now, of course, I'm in two minds. Do I do a fast walk or do I do a slow jog? Oh, that's a really hard decision for someone who is not fit but working on fitness, right? Because if you don't push yourself, you're not really going to get anywhere. I wasn't there to have a casual stroll. I wanted to, you know, increase the heart rate a little bit. Anyway, so I'm on the treadmill and I was basically going in between the two. I was doing a fast walk. I think it was around, I don't know, 6.5 or something the number was. That would be kilometres per hour, I assume. And then I go, no, I'm feeling good. I'm going to go up, beep, 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 beep. And then I'm into a slow jog. And I don't know if you've ever been on a treadmill, you can feel that moment where you can't do a fast walk anymore. Your body's like, this isn't working. You're going to have to start jogging. So I did that for a couple of minutes. Then that would get a bit too hard. Then I'd beep, 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 slow down a little bit. Not slowing down to a stop, not emergency stop. Everything was okay, but slowing it down enough where I could bring it back to a fast walk, catch my breath, and then reconsider the moment of being ready for a slow jog again. So that story is all for the point of telling you I've learnt that my pace is walking. I'm better at walking than running, and I enjoy walking. I enjoy walking in nature more than on a treadmill, but sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. So my message this morning is called Pace Yourself. And it's something that the Lord's been speaking to me about the speed of being a disciple, the pace that Jesus calls us to come alongside him. There's a pace that our Jesus walks. And so I've been on this sort of, I guess, study myself of considering the pace that Jesus set before us. And so the subtitle of my message is Disciples Who Walk in Step with Jesus. Now, the thing is about our motion as Christians, I thought about it, there's kind of three phases, and look, you might have more phases than this when you think about it in your own walk, but I think about when we're not with the Lord, when we're away from him, when we're separated from him, we're actually hidden. We're hidden in our sin. You know, Adam and Eve, when they committed the first sin, they hid from the Lord. And, you know, within ourselves, I know when I was someone who wasn't walking with Jesus, I didn't necessarily feel really far away from him, but the reality was my little things that I knew that I shouldn't be doing, I was hiding that, not only from the Lord, but usually from other people too, because that's those little things don't get approved from those who love us. So we're in a hidden state. When you're in a hidden state, you're actually stuck in your sin. Now, life goes on and we normally are pretty good at looking like we're moving forward, or at least a facade of moving forward. But when we're hidden in our sin and we're hidden and we're separated from the Lord, we're actually stuck in that place. We cannot move forward in the purposes and plans that the Lord has for us. And so that's phase one. And I believe that my next phase after being hidden and stuck in my sin was running to. So I was hidden from, and then I realized I needed a savior. Not just the savior that my parents spoke about and the pastors at my parents' church spoke about, but me, Jess, needed a savior. And so I was running to. Who was I running to? My father. The one who loves me, the one who promised me that I didn't need to be stuck, that I didn't need to remain hidden. And I believe that was phase two. It's a beautiful phase. It's that desperate, hungry phase. It's that initial, oh my goodness, there is life and there is hope beyond this yuckiness of being stuck within myself. Phase two is beautiful, but I've learned that we're not actually meant to stay in that phase either. Phase three, I believe, is a walking with. Hidden from, not good. Running to, beautiful. And then walking with. So who are we meant to be walking with? Jesus. But there's a pace. There's a pace. I was listening to a podcast a few weeks ago, and they were talking about, you know, the current culture, particularly in the first world, of just everything being busy and rushed, and you know, and that's got a lot to do with this digital age. And oh, I'm getting a clap in the front. It's awesome. But you know, the world can feel so rushed. And then the speakers on this podcast were talking about that the countercultural part of being a Christian and being a disciple is that we're actually called to slow down, to not try and keep up with the pace of the world, and actually slow down to the pace that the Lord is calling us to walk with Him in. And I guess the hard part is, well, what is that pace? What does that look like? And what does that look like when we're living that out? And we are... not of this world, but we're still living in this world. And so I've been thinking about this. God, what is the pace that you've set before me? Have I got it right? And am I in step with you? Am I in the rhythm that you've called me to be in? And so sometimes I look at my schedule. I look at the things I say yes and I say no to. And I reevaluate those things, particularly, you know, by the way, it's already March, but I was going to say early in the year, I often look at those things. We're already in March. And even some of us go, oh my gosh, it's March. Like that feels like a rush. How are we here already? I know that I want to be in step with the Lord, not just because I'm a pastor, but simply to be a disciple of Him, to really be in tune with Him, to be close with Him. I wanted to let you know, by the way, the word walk or walking is in the Bible around 315 times, which is a lot. In the New Testament, there's nearly 50 references of walking that actually are metaphorical. They refer to the state of how we live our life. Walking was the main means of transport when the New Testament was written. And so there's an immediate connection when the word walk is used. That's literally what you had to do to get from A to B. And so there's that practical and real sense of the word, but the metaphor was really important. It was actually for a symbol of the way we would conduct ourselves, our behaviours, our standards. And so when we're walking and following Jesus, There's a standard that he set. There was a new standard like never before. And yet that's not all it was. It's not all about this standard and trying to meet that standard. It's actually about moving forward in the plans and purposes that God has laid out before each of us. And so I've been thinking and pondering about the idea that it's possible to go out of step. And I've also been thinking about and talking to the Lord about, you know, does out of step doesn't always look like us being in really terribly bad sin. Out of step as a Christian can simply be going ahead of God. Out of step can be falling behind of God. And yet our desire in our spirit is to be walking with him step by step. I know that's true for me anyway. Now, the phrase to walk, okay, like a verb, to walk. You can translate that to in the original Hebrew, you can translate it to, when it's a metaphor, to actually mean to live. So to walk can be translated to mean to live. And I thought that was really interesting. So for those of us who are Christians here, you might describe being a Christian as simply walking with Jesus. That would be a good description of one. If someone says, well, what does it really mean to be a Christian? You know, that's a pretty common question, particularly as that's not how most Australians identify themselves now. A lot of people would say they are of no religion. So you might get asked the question, what does it mean to be a Christian? And a really simple answer would be, well, it's to walk with Jesus. Great answer, but what on earth does that mean, right? What does that mean? So that's what I want to talk about today. Pacing ourselves for the purpose of being in step with Jesus. I just want to say as well that this is not, the purpose of this is not for us to walk away and go, all right, I just got to slow down my life. I've got to get rid of some stuff. I'm going to do less. Maybe that might be an area that God speaks to you about in your life from some of the things that I share today. But that isn't my ultimate purpose, is not to say, let's all slow down. It's actually to work out what is the pace that Jesus has set before me. How can I be sure that I'm walking in step, in time with him, not running ahead and not falling behind? So I want to share with you that I believe Jesus modeling the pace started at a beautiful place of him calling his first disciples. So there's going to be a scripture on the screen. In Matthew chapter 4, if you want to go there with me, it'll be on the screen as well. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Well, we love the word of God in Fire Church. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And so, also, take note of the word walking. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. I found it so intriguing when I really started to study the pace of Jesus in his ministry. So many times he was already in motion, you know, walking by. He didn't have an office and an interview process. He was already in motion, walking by. Now, Jesus knew exactly who he was going to be walking by. It wasn't accidental, but the pace was already set. He was in motion. So many times when Jesus would have encounters with people, he was actually walking by, walking to. He had set a pace already. And note that the invitation to walk in step with Jesus started with the simple phrase, "Follow me. follow me. It starts with that invitation. We cannot be in step. We cannot be at the pace of the plans and purposes that God has for our life until we accept that first initial invitation of follow me. That's where it all starts. Jesus had a walking ministry. What I find really interesting is the disciples that decided to say yes to that invitation. Immediately they're walking with this man who's going to be their mentor, their teacher. Yes, their savior, but they didn't really know what they were saying yes to. And yet they start journeying with him and learning on the job. Isn't that incredible? We often think there's so much pre-work that needs to be done in our lives before we're ready for God to use us. And you know, there are things that we need to be ready for. There's things that we need to do as Christians. But when I look at the model that Jesus set before us, he wasn't so interested in the pre-work. He was very interested in the answer to that invitation. Come, follow me. And then the disciples are learning on the job. Now, they're literally walking with Jesus, following him, going from place to place. And there was really no question whether they were in time with him or not, because they were literally with him. They let go of everything else they were doing, their career, and they followed him. And so I think about us as disciples now, and we want to get that right. We want to be in step with Jesus, and we want to know that all that we put our effort into, it's not in vain, right? I know there's things in my life I go, sometimes I've done things for the Lord that he hasn't asked me to do. That's out of step. Now, he is merciful and graceful, and he hasn't punished me for those things, but the reality is I've been out of step at times, even as a minister. And we go to John chapter 8, verse 12. And we have another verse here that talks about walking. The beauty of being saved and being set free. The promise unlocked. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He's not just a guy there doing his ministry, his walking ministry, ready to teach people. He came out with bold statements. This is one of them. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know, when we're in step with Jesus, none of those steps will be led into darkness. In fact, he calls us out of darkness and into light. And if we're in step and in time with him and in tune with exactly where he's leading us, it will always be in light. If you start crossing paths with thinking there's something not quite right here, my spirit is sensing that something that I'm walking into is not quite right, can you please listen to that unction? That is the Holy Spirit. When we have those checks, sometimes it's decisions we make. Sometimes it's friendships. Sometimes it's literally saying yes or no to a job. Sometimes it's the smallest decision or the biggest decision. But when you have that check, if it doesn't feel right, sometimes that's Holy Spirit saying, no, that is not a place of light. I'm not walking you into that place. We need to listen. We need to listen. Jesus is the light of the world. He is walking with you, and he's not leading you into darkness. Now, you might say, but we're called to be the light as well and to shine light into dark places. Absolutely. Absolutely. But that is only in step with Jesus. You cannot bear his light without him. Don't go there. Remember that statement? I'm sounding old. Don't go there, girlfriend. Don't go there. Don't try to be a light in dark places without him. You better check. Is God really calling you to do that? You know, nightclub ministry? And now, there's some laughs and murmurs, right? I'm not against it. But whoa, you better be careful. And you better make sure it was God. That's just one example. But he will never call you to be a light in dark places without going with you, without going before you. So we're called to a walk of being in the light. What a beautiful thing. What a relief. Especially if you know darkness. Hands up here if you know darkness. If you've walked in darkness. What a relief to hear that promise that when you walk with Jesus, you'll be walking in light. Oh, what joy that is. Now, the other thing about being a Christian is when we're walking with Jesus, we walk in the newness of life. There's another scripture about to come up, Romans 6:4. By the way, take note of these scriptures if you want to meditate on them. This message is really one to go away with. To go away with and see what God wants to say to you from it. But Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Another promise if we're walking in step with Jesus. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. There's a newness when we're walking in step with Jesus. There is a newness that you would have never experienced before. This is not a walk that you would have walked before. Just like the disciples, they left everything. They put all their net stuff down, didn't really know what they were saying yes to, followed him. It was a walk that they would have never walked before. Maybe they walked the literal roads before, but the spiritual walk, the purpose that had gone before them, it was like nothing that they had ever walked before. I know that's true for me. When I've been really, truly in step with the Lord, it's like nothing I could have ever thought about and planned myself. The things that God has invited me to be part of, the things that he's entrusted with me, and even better than that, simply the things that he's spoken to me in my heart and my spirit. It's like nothing I've ever walked before. And when you've experienced that, you know what happens? You want more. You want to stay in step with him because you don't want to miss out on the next thing that he has for you. And that's the beauty of it. This is a good walk. This walk is full of hope. This walk in the newness of life is full of love like never before. It's full of hope and assurance. The newness of life. Old things have passed away. The newness of life only because Jesus took all of our old dead stuff for us. And now you get to walk in the newness of life. What an incredible promise. Incredible. I've been thinking about, and I'll be honest here because I've prayed this a lot and I've used these words a lot. When we have plans and we have dreams and we have our own hopes and we have ambitions, none of those things are bad, by the way. I've done personality tests before and, category tests and profiles. Hands up if you've ever done stuff like that. Again, nothing wrong with that. And I did one, I can't remember what it was called, but I did one a little while ago. And I was really surprised by it that one of my, highest values that came out, this test spat it out, was one of my highest values was ambition. And I was kind of a bit taken aback by it because I would never describe myself like that way, that I'm really ambitious and that, being productive and getting things done is really highly valued to me. Like, I find it important, but I would have thought family and, all those kind of things would rank higher. But this test told me that ambition was really high. So I started to bring that to the Lord and go, all right, so God, you've created me to be someone who likes to get things done and to finish things and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think that's bad, but I realized that sometimes in that I was taking my ambition to the Lord and saying, God, would you protect this plan, protect my dream, would you provide for it? And I realized I wasn't really always asking for permission. I was asking for protection, provision, peace. And that's often what we do, isn't it? And we can sometimes do that on our own walk and forget that, did the Father actually ask me to do that? Did he say that? Did I ask permission? It's a personal conviction of mine, because the maturity of being a disciple who's growing, you know, growing up in the Lord, that maturity phase. And I believe for us as a church, God's calling us into that phase. Our vision this year is to ascend, to go to a higher place. You can't really ascend a mountain if you're not walking with Jesus. So I've been thinking about that and laying that down and going, you know, God, everything that I ask you to protect and provide for, I will throw it all away if it's not of you. I want to ask you your permission. Even more importantly, that I want to stop and I want to ask you, God, what do you want me to do next? What is my next step? Not please bless my next step. What is the next step you have for me? And it is so much better. It always works out better. He's a merciful, kind Father. He's so patient with us. But he's ready to help us mature, to grow up, and to really get this walk right. And so that's just something I've been doing myself, to changing my language, changing my prayer language, stopping for long enough and going, Lord, what is my next step? Jesus offers us a model of how to get this right. You know, he didn't do anything that the Father didn't ask him to do. He only did what the Father said, and that is the pace. That is the pace. Not only for ministry, not just the work of the ministry, but for character. That is the pace. It's a key for us. If we want to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, the only way we can pace ourselves is by doing this. We need to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. In the Spirit and not in the flesh. So when is the last time you asked the Lord, what does he want you to do next? When is the last time you stopped on this walk to really listen to the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit? Are we ready to lay down the request of protecting and blessing our plans and instead slow down? Ask him, ask him, ask him. And are we growing in confidence at the sound of his voice? 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. And I've been meditating on this personally. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way which he walked. In the same way. It's directional. It's directional. It's not just a standard. It's not just, oh, you better make sure you're as good as Jesus. It's going in the same way as Jesus. We're all actually going the same way. Do you know that? He has a very specific plan and purpose for your life. He actually has a perfect will, a perfect walk for you. But we're all, as sons and daughters of God, going in the same direction. Whoever abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. You can only be walking in step with Jesus if you're abiding in him. Do you know what that means? Is to be fully reliant on him as your source. To be so close to him, to be attached. Are there any parents in this place? Yeah, have you ever had a clingy child or grandchild? Yeah, we had a couple out of our three. And you know, at the time you're like, oh, okay, and just, you know, when you have to drop them off to someone to babysit and they're crying and you're trying to peel them off, or you're trying to drop them off to kids' church and they're crying because they're attached. There's nothing wrong with that. And you know, that's exactly how God wants us to be with him. Fully attached, fully reliant, clingy. You can be clingy with God. That's what abiding is. And we've got to fully rely on him as our life source. So whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Abiding in him. So the overflow of that, the fruit of that, is getting the pace right, is being a disciple who's walking in step with Jesus. So how do we pace ourselves? Abide in him. Fully rely on him. Now, I know that this all sounds great. And I'm also aware, because I'm a person who's been sometimes out of step with the Lord, that we may not feel that we're there. And so I wanted to just have space in the last few moments of my message for you to respond to this, not to me, but to the Lord this morning. So, you know, the beauty of the rhythm of grace is that we all have the opportunity to get back in step. If you're out of step, I don't need to know. But if you're out of step and you want to get back in step with the Lord, then you have the opportunity. It's not too late. If you've gone ahead of God, maybe ambitiously, maybe just in a rush, maybe not even really stopping to check what God has for you and just saying, well, I'm a Christian and here I go. If you've gone ahead, he invites you this morning to realign your life with his perfect will for you. If you're feeling stuck, you've fallen behind maybe. Maybe you're in a place of you love the Lord, but you just don't know how you're going to get back in motion. That is a hard place. I just want to acknowledge that's a really hard place for our soul and for our emotions. God's with you there, by the way, in that stuck place. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. But he has hope and life and assurance, the newness of life. He has that for you. I just want to prophesy that right now because I feel that. I feel that emotion of that stuck. I don't know who that's for. He does not leave you or forsake you. He has newness of life for you. And he reaches his hand to pull you up out of that stuck place. And he says, I'm with you. I've been with you in this stuck, motionless place. But here's my hand and I reach out to you. And we're going to get up now. And we're going to take that next step now. He's with you right now. I just sense that really in the spirit that there's some people feeling stuck, that God has hope for you in this place. He reaches his hand out to you. He wants you to take a step of obedience. He carries your burdens and all you have to do is take the next step. So if we could stand up in this place, if you're able to stand up in body. Wherever you are, maybe you are feeling stuck. Maybe you're admitting like me that times you've gone ahead of God. Maybe you're doing well and you're just really encouraged this morning that, you know, I feel affirmed and confirmed that I'm in step with the Lord. That is amazing. Keep going. But if you're not sure if you're in step with him, I just want to allow you to respond to the Lord this morning, just from where you are. And I just want to pray for you. So if that's you, if you're feeling stuck and motionless, or if you feel like you need to realign again, with the will of God for your life. You've gone ahead of him. You've rushed before him. Would you just lift your hands in this place just to respond to the Lord, to what he wants to do this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You see these hands, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Right now, would you just come and pour out upon these people? Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you've set out a perfect will before them. And God, I thank you that in your sovereignty as a creator, God, not only do you leave us in this in that place of trying to get back on the path, Father, but in your mercy and your kindness, that you would even come with your hand right now and help us get back onto the path with you, Jesus. We want to be so close to you, God. I just pray that you would help each and every one of us, particularly those who are responding this morning, to be so close with you, to be so fully connected with you, to be abiding in you, Lord. That we would know, that we would know, that we would know that when you speak, we can take a step of obedience. That each small step of obedience is the perfect will that you set before us. Each small step, God, help us pace ourselves, God. Lord, speak. Speak to those who have responded this morning. Speak to those who need to hear your voice again. Thank you, Jesus, that you are with us. You are for us, that you don't forsake us. And you have a great plan for each and every one of us and for our church collectively. Help us to mature in all that you have us to be. In Jesus' name. And we all said, amen, amen. Well, thank you. And before, thank you, church. Just as we're standing, you know, I'm also aware I spoke about that initial phase of being hidden in our sin, of being away from the Lord. You can't be in step with Him if you're hidden and stuck and separated from Him. But I've got good news for you. You have a way out of that. The same way out that I had, you have. If that's you in this place, if you've never run to the Father, if you've never moved from phase one, which is being hidden and stuck, we were all there, by the way, every single one of us in this room. We've all been in that place. And our only way out was through Jesus' sacrifice for us. And you can run to the Father. He has open arms for you this morning. If you've never given your life and your heart and your everything to the Lord, if you've never put down your nets like those fishermen, put it all down. God's inviting you to follow Him. And I just want to open up in this last couple of minutes for anyone that's never given their life to God, that you've never moved out of phase one and you want to go to phase two and then phase three. You want to be in motion with the Lord. You want to have the newness of life. You want to be walking in light. Can you very bravely lift up your hands in this place if that's you? We never want to assume that everybody is in step with the Lord. But I can tell you, friends, that that's where He wants you to be. Is there anyone in this place that wants to get out of that hiddenness and be in the light with Jesus this morning? If you could bravely raise your hands. We'll just give it a moment. Amen, amen. There's people responding in this place. So see those hands. Thank you. Thank you for being courageous in this place. If that's you and you've made that first step, we're going to ask you as a church and we're going to encourage you this morning and celebrate with you. Would you also bravely come down to the front here so we can meet you, we can pray with you, we can talk to you about the decision you just made. We're going to have staff here who can help you with that. So if that was you, if you raised your hand, could you just come bravely? Maybe if you're with a friend, your friend can come with you as well. Church, let's just celebrate those who have made that decision here. Amazing. And we're going to, we've got a team here who are going to help you just so you understand that amazing decision that you've made this morning. And if there was anybody else, please come and we just so celebrate with heaven this morning, don't we? Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you for listening this morning, church. And we're going to just finish our service by praying the salvation prayer. And I'm going to invite my husband who's here to just lead us in that prayer this morning for this beautiful moment of giving our life to the Lord.
Awesome. Let's just stretch our hands to heaven right now and say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. God, I thank you that he stepped down on this earth to be the perfect sacrifice for my sins. God, I repent and I turn to you. I walk away from my life of sin. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Wash me clean. Make me brand new. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.